This is the Blind Geek Zone, podcast number 32 for March 17th, 2009. Hey, this is Rick, and I'm back again for another Blind Geek Zone podcast. Today is St. Patrick's Day, 2009, and I hope everybody is having a nice green day, and hope you all had a pint of the green beer. Unfortunately, I won't be having any green beer here today, but I guess it's the thought that counts, but hope everybody's having a great St. Paddy's Day. Alrighty, I'm going to talk about several different things today. First, I'm going to update everybody on recent goings-on. And then we're going to have a couple of call-in comments. And then ending the podcast, we will have a demonstration of the Oasis 22C accessible screenless cell phone. And Tim Johnson from Portland, Oregon is going to give us that demonstration. Alrighty, well, hey, this is CSUN Week, and for those of you who don't know, CSUN is the big accessibility conference out in Los Angeles, California. It started yesterday, and I believe it goes on through the 21st. All kinds of things going on out there. Excuse me. All the major announcements get made this week. Jaws had its update. Jaws 10, build 1139, was announced a couple of days ago, just prior to the beginning of CSUN. Humanware has announced the Victor Stream 3.0 firmware that'll be announced here at the CSUN conference. That's my understanding. They've also announced the update to the Victor Stream Companion version 3.0, now renamed the Humanware Companion 3.0, which will be out, I believe, around the end of the month, another week or two. If you'd like to hear more about that presentation, it was on Accessible World last night, and the archive should be up in the next day or so, and you can catch that at Accessible World, and that's www.accessibleworld, accessibleworld.org. And you can check the archives out there for that. It was an interesting demonstration, and there are quite a bit of changes to the companion software for the stream. And I can't wait to see what the new firmware update, the 3.0 firmware update to the stream, what that's going to be all about. I heard it is going to be a free update again by Humanware. It will be announced this week at CSUN, and next Monday night on Accessible World in the Tech Talk conference room, there will be a presentation on that by the people at Humanware. I know the guy's first name is Jerry, and I can't remember his last name, but he's I think he's head of marketing, and he'll be demonstrating all the new features next week, so can't wait to hear that myself. Okay, and I have a little bit more information on the Stream 3.0 firmware after I did the initial recording of this podcast yesterday. I seen in my email a notice from Humanware that they had indeed announced the VictorStream 3.0 firmware, and there are quite a few interesting changes in that. You can go out to my blog, and I have a post there from HumanWare that it gives all the details. Some of the main things are that there are now the capabilities in some of the folders, especially the text folder, the other books folder, the music folder. You now can do multi-level folders and navigate by that. You know, like in text files, you used to not be able to, you know, everything just went into the text folder and it just was read in order. Now you can put things in folders and navigate that way. There's some more enhancements to the music folder with the playlists. And trying to remember what else. Can't remember now, sorry. But if you go out to the blog and take a look at that, the post is there, and you can read all the details. And there's quite a few new enhancements. Oh, one of the other things was on the English firmware, there'll be a male and a female voice now, so you're probably going to have Tom and Samantha. So that should be interesting. Well, I can't remember what else, but go ahead and go out to the blog and take a look at that if you're interested, and I'm sure the announcement's at HumanWare as well, but wanted to update everybody on that before I made the podcast final and uploaded it today. All right. A couple other things that have been announced this week is HumanWare is going to announce a screen reader for the BlackBerry cell phone or mobile device that a lot of business people use for texting and emailing, and I think it does browsing, and I think it acts as a phone too, and all that good stuff. But apparently, HumanWare, in conjunction, I think, with Code Factory, is going to make that announcement this week at the conference. And haven't heard a whole lot of details there about that yet. Verizon announced on the 15th of March, which was just a couple days ago, that they are going to be offering a fully accessible cell phone. It is the Motorola Q9C that runs Windows Mobile 6.1. It will be bundled with a version of Talks, and the initial price of the bundle will be, if you just buy it outright, I believe it's $429. A 1 year commitment, I believe, is $319, and a 2 year commitment is $249. And at the moment, that includes a $70 instant rebate. Details are available on the Verizon Wireless website. The phone apparently right now can only be ordered online. The 2 year price is only available to, I guess, new customers and people that haven't upgraded recently, unlike myself, which I upgraded last year to the ENV2. So not going to be getting into that. I've heard various things about the phone, and I'll be really, really interested to see some reviews on it. But some people have claimed that the version of Talks on it either isn't new or it's been stripped down somehow. I can't confirm this. I know nothing about it, so I'm just saying right now what I've heard. It's already pre-bundled on the phone. I don't know if you get the software for it or not, or if the software is interchangeable to another phone. Also, on this phone, you would have to have a data plan through Verizon, which is an additional $30 a month, and a lot of people, I guess, aren't real thrilled about that. But another rumor that I've heard is that in July, a voice-only phone, a phone that doesn't have a data plan, will be announced, and we'll have talks on it as well. So, should be really interesting to hear some of these reviews and see what this is all about. Because Talks itself from Nuance is $295 just for the software alone. The Motorola Q9C is an older phone, from what I understand, and it's pretty cheap. It doesn't cost a whole lot, I don't believe, anywhere anymore. But still, it's going to be really interesting, and hopefully, it's going to give us more accessibility for those of you who are on the Verizon network and want something better than what we've currently got. Okay. Wanted to talk a little bit about my experiences and others' experiences with the new JAWS 10 1139 build. Come out last Thursday, and there are not a lot of new features. There are a lot of little bug fixes and things, things we always see on the updates. The most notable thing that I saw on the update for new features is that in the past you used to have to edit an INI file in order to enable JAWS to work on a second sound card. Say you want to record on one sound card and you want JAWS to come out of a second sound card, you'd have to do some editing and you'd kind of have to know what the heck you were doing, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And especially on Vista, I've heard that it doesn't work at all. And so what they've done now is, if you go into the utilities menu on JAWS, and I'll do that here right now. Let me bring JAWS up.
JAWS context menu O, option submenu O, utility submenu U.
Go into utilities.
Enter JAWS tandem submenu T. Merge utility synthesizer and braille manage sound card submenu O.
We have a new submenu here called sound cards. And if we go into this,
enter Windows default sound card W.
you can pick where JAWS sends its output to.
SD Audigy 2 audio left bracket 8800 right bracket checked S. Modem number 0 line playback F. Windows default sound card W.
So this makes this much easier now for somebody to select a second sound card for doing things like recording and things like that. One of the things I did hear from the mailing lists is, if you've already got your INI file edited in this fashion, you need to take the editing out in order to get the this what I just demonstrated to work right. So that's one thing you need to know, and I didn't see that mentioned on the update list. So hopefully that helps a few of you out. If you run into problems with that not working, that may be the reason why, if you've already edited your INI file. All right. I don't normally complain too much about JAWS. I use JAWS every day. It's my primary screen reader. I use Window Eyes a bit here, off and on, as I buy it through their LTO program. And I also have System Access here, which I'm currently buying through their lease-to-own program. And so I use a little bit of everything here. And I usually don't like to be critical too much of the screen readers. I try and keep an open mind, try and keep my mouth shut, since I don't want to sound like I'm bashing any particular product over another. Things like that. I kind of, in the past have gotten in trouble for doing that, and I don't want to make anybody upset. Don't want to make the screen reader manufacturers upset, which I, tend to talk to a bit. I have contacts at JAWS I talk to all the time, and I have contacts at System Access that I talk to, and I don't really talk to too many people at GW Micro though. But I like to keep an open mind, and I don't want to sound as if I'm bashing anybody, but I do want to be a little bit critical here of Freedom Scientific in the latest release of JAWS 10, and I want to just state for the record here, the comments that I'm going to make are solely my opinion. They're not meant to bash Freedom Scientific or anything like that. It's just my opinions and, thoughts of other people that I've talked to over the last several days. Because there have been a lot of problems with this release, and there's been a lot of chatter on the email lists, and I've talked to quite a few friends that have installed it and have had various problems with it. I had various problems with it here myself on my machines. So just wanted to talk a little bit about this. Number one problem that I had here is that I attempted to use the automatic updates to get the JAWS build down on each one of the machines here that I'm running it on. And by doing this, I encountered numerous issues and problems. The most major one that I had was on my notebook, my compact notebook. When it tried to do the update, it got an error message so far through it saying the JAWS was corrupted or something, and you needed to do an actual update from the website. And a lot of people had this problem. I've seen it over and over on the email list throughout the weekend. And I know for a fact here my JAWS isn't corrupted. I know nothing's wrong with it, so that clearly shouldn't have happened. Another thing is, each one of these that I did the automatic updates on had, every single one of them had some kind of weird problem. My XP box, when I did an automatic update, and I still haven't corrected it here yet because I haven't had time, but if I go into Internet Explorer.
Windows Internet Explorer, edit combo, about colon blank, connecting dot dot dot.
Now, say I want to change verbosity settings. If I hit Insert V.
Adjust JAWS options dialog. Preview Internet Explorer options open.
Now, if I start arrowing down, normally you start hearing the various options for verbosity. But listen to what happens here.
A known function called a colon jit hint option default setting. getintoptionsetting. Information bar dash announce change. A known function called a colon jit hint option default setting. getintoptionsetting. RSS feeds dash announce change. A known function called a colon jit hint option default setting. getintoptionsetting. Frame update notification dash speak frame name. General options opened.
And then as I start arrowing down below this, it starts working right again.
User verbosity dash advanced. Tandem connect sounds dash on.
So that's the most major thing that I saw on this particular install. On my Vista box, where I did the automatic update as well, what happened there was that when you hit the start button and you arrow into the search edit box, or just go into the search edit box, the system would crash. And it did this over and over and over. So I turned off JAWS and tried other screen readers, including Narrator and System Access, and didn't encounter the problem. So there I had to uninstall JAWS 10 from the machine and install the 1139 build from the website to correct the problem. So, and I've heard this over and over and over on the list about the automatic updater failing in one form or another. And I guess my complaint here to Freedom Scientific is that the automatic update clearly does not work. And if we call into tech support and we tell Freedom Scientific that we've done the automatic update and we're having a problem, the first thing we're told is to go out to the website and grab the build and install it that way. So, again, my complaint to Freedom Scientific here is, this needs to be fixed or it needs to be scrapped because it clearly does not work properly. And there have been a number of complaints about it, a large number of complaints about it. It's not just me, and it's everybody I've talked to. So, that's been a major, major problem. I've also had some problems with Windows Mail on Vista. And Freedom Scientific's been notified of this, and they have been able to duplicate it. When you type in a name in the to field and you start tabbing around, JAWS will erroneously say what's in the to field in the subject line, and if you tab back up, it'll say it in the other fields, the BCC and the CC field, and reported that. A friend of mine's also reported that on very long documents in Word 2003, JAWS is extremely sluggish, and that's been reported to FS. I'm going to try and demonstrate that for them on Word 2007, see if it does the same thing there, so we can give FS a little more info on that problem. And just a number of things that have happened on the update. I mean, I've seen some good things too. I've seen problems fixed. I was having a lot of problems with replying to HTML messages on Outlook Express, and I've noticed that's been fixed. Some of the internet navigation seems to be working better. I haven't had as many foul ups there. So I mean, don't get me wrong. There's good things that have happened, but I mean, my biggest complaint here is definitely about the automatic updater, and it clearly, not working. So, hopefully they'll do something about that, or maybe they should consider, maybe getting rid of it because it just clearly isn't working. But all right, that's about all I wanted to say here in the first part of the podcast. What we're going to do now is I'm going to play a couple of the comments and questions, and I'll make my comments and answer if I can. And then we'll have the Oasis 22C demonstration by Tim Johnson. Oh, I almost forgot. and I don't know how I forgot this, but one other major comment about the website. We just opened up a Talking Communities chat room for the Blind Geek Zone website. You can enter it through the main page of the website. If you hit your heading key a couple times till you hear it say New Talking Communities chat room, if you arrow down to the enter here, you can get in there. What we're going to do is we're going to try and have some conferences and stuff in there, for our podcasts, maybe have some live Q&A podcasts that we can do in there. And I'm going to have one next Tuesday, March 24th, at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time, GMT of 1800 hours. So I would encourage, you know, everybody that's interested, we're going to have a question and answer session in there live. The room will hold up to 50 people at a time. And should be very interesting. We have the room for 30 days free. Then after that, I'll have to pay for it. So I really need to gauge how interested people are in it. You know, it's going to cost a fair bit of money a month to use. And if you're all clearly interested in it, then that's fine. You know, we'll find a way to do it. But, you know, if people aren't interested, then, you know, I'll have to drop the thought. But I thought it would be really interesting, you know, where we could have some interactive live things that we could all sit and talk to each other, you know, live. And so I hope that works out real good. As always, you can contact me through voicemail on Skype to leave questions for the podcast and comments for the podcast, or trips and say that three times quick. Tips and tricks, short demos, things like that. You can also call the phone number that's on the front page of the website. You know, if you have unlimited long distance, you can do it that way. You can leave comments. And I just wanted to also say that if you do leave a comment, either through the phone number or through the Skype voicemail, make sure you state whether it's a question or comment for the podcast, or it's just something private that, you know, because I don't always know. Also, make sure when you're leaving messages via Skype, especially, not so much the phone line, but especially Skype, be sure to talk clearly into your microphone. I'm getting a number of calls from people that they're either not close enough to the microphone, or they're too close to the microphone and they're unintelligible and I can't understand them. You know, if I can't understand the comment, you know, I'm not going to put it on the podcast, because likely nobody else is going to understand it either. But, you know, try to talk clearly. Try to not be too far away or too close to your microphone. You know, do a Skype test call. See how you're coming through on that, you know, and then give me the call. But I've had to reject a number of them that just weren't clear enough, you know, to put on the podcast. And I do apologize for that, but there's no point in putting something out on the podcast that people can't understand. All right, we're going to go on now to comments and questions, and then, like I said, Tim Johnson's review of the Oasis 22C accessible cell phone.
Howdy there, Rick Harmon. This is Jason Bratcher, all the way from Tampa, Florida. Thought I'd check in and let you know that you've got a pretty cool little podcast series going over there at the Blind Geek Zone, a.k.a. the Rickster. No, I just had to do that. Had to get that out of my chest, actually. But, yeah. But I drop in and see what's going on. All right, then. Later.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for your comment. I haven't used the old Rickster intro there in quite a while. And don't know why I did in the first place, but I guess it was kind of humorous. But, trying to come up with a new intro for the audio podcast, and haven't really come up with anything yet. But yeah, I remember those days when I used that enhanced Rickster intro. But hey, glad you like the website, and hope the weather is warm down there in Florida. It's not gotten very warm yet up here, and can't wait for spring. But thanks for the comment.
Hi, I'm Linda Stewart, and I was looking through your website. And a thing that would help me a lot is, now sometimes you have some things on Accessible World. I was wondering if there's any way you could transfer it to your own website and put it there, because there's different ways of downloading from different sites, and I'm kind of new at it. And even on your website, there are different ways of doing it instead of a consistent way all the way through. What I do a lot of the time is push the, I have JAWS 10, and I push the right click, and then I down arrow about 3 times, hit enter, and then tab a couple times and save it, download it that way. But then there's some other links you have where when you push that mouse right click, you can't down arrow to, oh, I forgot what you call it, but you know what it is, I'm sure. You just can't do it. It's set up altogether differently, and I can't figure out how to get those. So anyway, that's my thought, and hope that maybe you can write something in your blog or whatever, I mean in your on your website about it. So thank you very much. Bye.
Okay, thanks very much, Linda, for the call in and comments. And I'll try to answer these correctly this time. I know the last time you sent me a comment in, I kind of botched it, but let's see if I can get this one right. Everything basically that I do on Accessible World is already on the audio section of the site. My recordings are all there. For the most part, there could be one or two missing, I suppose, but they're all there. And as far as a consistent way of saving things on the website, I'm not sure what the problem is, but everything is consistent. I work very, very hard to make that all consistent, and you're correct on any link to any audio file, document, program on the website. You should simply be able to hit your right click on JAWS, arrow down to save target as, and hit enter there, and then tab your couple times and save it. I'm not sure why that may not be working, as it should on every single audio file and document and program and script that's on the site. It's all consistent. I design it to all be very, very consistent. The only inconsistencies there are, and I'm thinking about ways to even fix those, are if you just click on a link on the audio, if you click on it, if the system has media player as default, then it's simply just going to start playing in media player. And in order to save it, you would have to do, like you said, right click on it and go down to save target as. If you're running Winamp as your default player on the system, if you click on a link, then it's going to save and not just start playing. So that is one inconsistency, and I'm working on ways, I'm thinking about ways to do the audio in the future where I'll have a link that you click on to save and a link that you click on to stream or listen to the podcast. So I am thinking about that. That's always on my mind. I do want the site to be as easily usable by everybody that comes to it. So I'm not quite sure why you're having the problems with the right click, but be assured everything should work that way. Make sure your browser is maximized. Do an alt space and then arrow down to maximize. Make sure sometimes if it's not maximized and you right click and start arrowing down, I know sometimes here I'll see something on websites about scrolling. But, you know, make sure that it is maximized, and you generally shouldn't have that problem anywhere on the site. So, thanks for the comment, and I hope I've answered your question clearly. Thank you.
Hello, Rick. This is my first time to talk with you. My name is Philip from Egypt. I want to talk with you. First one about the Windows pre-installed. I heard about this subject, and I want to know if we can make a Windows pre-installed with JAWS speech to make a CD or USB Windows we can boot from this Windows and run automatically with JAWS. The second one, I wanted to know if we can make NVDA work with Eloquence. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, hey, thank you for your question. I didn't quite get your first name. I had a little bit of trouble understanding you, unfortunately. You're a little close to the mic. I think it said Philip, but I apologize if that's not correct. You can do pre-installs of Windows with JAWS and everything on them. It's a bit out of my league. I have did a few podcasts here on unattended installations of Windows that you can look for in the audio section that demonstrates some kind of simple ways to do the unattended installation of Windows. I don't know that these work anymore with Service Pack 3. I tried Service Pack 3 and I couldn't get the install to work. So a couple other options are Nlite. And you can Google that. It's N-L-I-T-E. That's a program that is used to do unattended installations of Windows and will allow you to pre-install other programs as well with it. It's somewhat, I guess, difficult to use. You'll just have to play with it and see what you can do with it. I didn't have a whole lot of luck with it here the last time I used it, but it's been a long time, and it may be easier to use now. So that's about all I can answer on that question is yes, you can do it. And you might want to check, like I said, Google for Nlite and see what you get out of that. Okay, and as for the second part of your question, can we use Eloquence on NVDA? And unfortunately, as far as I know, the answer to that is no. The closest thing I can think of is if you have ViaVoice from something such as OpenBook or something like that, you could use it, and that is the predecessor to Eloquence. But as far as I know, there's no legal way to use Eloquence with NVDA. I've heard some talk on some of the lists that supposedly there's some way to get Eloquence unlocked to do such a thing, but unfortunately I don't know of any legal way to do it, so sorry about that.
Hi, Rick. My name is Giovanni Baena from Chicago once again. I just got through listening through to your last podcast that you just recorded a couple days ago. And I see that you know, and I appreciate this. I thank you very much for you actually played my question on that podcast. And hopefully, I understand that, this next message you can hopefully we'll get on there too if you know you can. I just wanted to get back to you and maybe help a little bit explain my question that you were having trouble trouble understanding and answering on my last message that I sent you. Well, as far as babbling, maybe babbling's not the correct explanation for that, but what I meant by Nero 8 and what my problems have been is that sometimes when I'm arrowing through selections as far as making CDs or making DVDs, jaws tend to lock up if I'm trying to down arrow. Sometimes I up and down arrow and I don't hear anything, either that or I hear something being spoken more than twice, two or three times, you know, at the same time, and it's just really aggravating to me. I'm one of those persons, just like you, I understand from your, I was listening to one of your very, very old podcasts when Jaws 9 came out, and you were saying that at Vista there was a lot of cracking and popping, you know, a couple of things, and I'm one of those people, too, that I get aggravated when something bothers me, or sometimes I don't want to hear things and things like that. And when I was using Nero 8, like I said, when I was trying to arrow through, when I was in the Nero Burning ROM section, I was trying to, what kind of installation do I want? For example, CD, audio CD, or DVD. I was having trouble kind of up and down arrowing through the selections, and I was sometimes unclear as to what section was I really actually focused on, and that's what it was. And as far as burning DVDs, be a little more specific, like, I know there's several options in, like, Super DVD, Video DVD. I'm not sure which one can I select to burn DVDs to play, like, for example, on a DVD player or something like that. And I'm trying to record my last question to you. Hopefully you can squeeze them all in somehow. Is, I just upgraded to Windows Vista, and I got my hands on Jaws 10 as well. And it's a great product. I like the autoforms mode thing that they have. But anyway, that's for another thing. I'm having trouble recording. I'm using GoldWave and scripts that from your website, and I, for some reason, cannot, I got my sound driver to it, and the only thing I can do, I got to the recording part, and I hit the start recording button, but for some reason, when I play it back, it comes out nothing. Nothing comes out on the recording. It's like a blank recording. There's like nothing there. I can't hear anything. I was wondering maybe if you could help me fix the situation. All right, and have a good day, and hope to hear from you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks again, Giovanni, for replying back here. I know I tried to answer your question last time, and sometimes I don't always get the questions answered very well, but, you know, hey, I do my best and try to get everybody's questions answered as best I can. But thanks for commenting back, and I'll try to comment here a little more on what you've replied back to me. I don't have those problems, basically, with Jaws and Nero. I do have Nero 7 here on the machine. Not really using Nero anymore, as I've moved on to Record Now, which I like better and is a lot cheaper. And that's by Roxio. It's only about $30. I don't have those problems with Nero. I don't get, I can tell where I'm at. You know, when I'm up and down arrowing, when I'm making selections, you know, as to what kind of CD or DVD I want to make. And as I'm tabbing around inside of, you know, Nero itself, I really don't have any of those problems with it. Not, either double-talking things or saying things that are irrelevant or not saying anything at all. So, and I haven't really seen anybody else commenting on any of the mailing lists about Nero that they're having any similar problems. For the most part, I think Nero Burning ROM is pretty accessible with JAWS. And just don't have those problems here, so I can't really, you know, answer that question very well. Maybe somebody else can, and maybe somebody else will send in a comment that I can post. As far as the second part of your question, again, on the DVD burning, as I demonstrated way back when, back in 2006 on Nero 6.6 and making DVDs, I believe it's the fourth part of the series, it's not all that easy to do. There are, like you said, there are different types of DVDs that it talks about. There's, you know, there's ISO DVDs, which are just data DVDs that just have data on them, no video necessarily. And those are kind of like data CDs, where you know, you could have them boot or whatever, and could have various folders and stuff on them. Then you have the video DVDs, which is probably what you're thinking about, is, you know, taking and making a video DVD to play on a DVD player. And those, it's unfortunately, it's just not that easy with Nero. One would think that you would just drag an MPEG-2 video file to the compilation and have Nero make the DVD for you. Unfortunately, that's not the case. You have to have some other program to build the structure for the DVD for you, the video TS and the audio TS folders and stuff like you would see on our DVD. You would have to have another program make that structure for you. Then you would use Nero Burning ROM to burn that structure onto a DVD. So, you know, unfortunately, it's just not all that easy. And I think this time I've answered that question, hopefully. And if you have any more thoughts on that, like I said, refer to the Nero Burning ROM 6 podcasts that I did back in 2006. The part 4, I believe, talks in some detail about that. And I'm sorry that, you know, it's not speaking correctly for you. I don't really have a good answer there because I don't have that problem here. And some of the other people that I know that are using it don't have that problem either. So if somebody wants to send a comment in and, you know, if they're having the problem and what they've done to resolve it or anything like that, you know, please feel free to call in or leave a voicemail message on the Skype. And, you know, I'll put that on. But thanks again for the questions, and I hope I've answered them a little better this time. And as far as answering your question about Vista recording, I'd have to know, you know, what sound card you were using. And as I've said in the past, you know, sometimes there are problems with recording in Vista. And getting it to work right, one of the things you want to make sure is you've got the most updated drivers for your sound card. And you might listen to a couple of the things I've done about Vista and recording in the audio section. If you look for those, there are a couple that talk more specifically about that type of problem. But you know, I'm not real sure what might be going on there as far as your problem. So sorry that I don't have a better answer than that for you. Vista has been typically a problem for people recording, depending on what drivers they have. You know, even here on my Vista machines, I have a lot of troubles recording. So, you know, hopefully the new Windows 7 is going to be better about that. And but I don't think anything is going to be as simple as the way it was on XP and prior, unfortunately. So, give those audio podcasts a listen. I think there's one in the BGC section, somewhere around 20. You just have to look at the descriptions. And also, I know I did one for Accessible World about audio in Vista, and I know I've commented a couple other times on a couple other podcasts about it, so just take a look around the audio site and see if you see anything there, and if not, get back with me here, and I'll try to give you a more lengthy answer. But thanks for the questions.
This is a phone that is fully accessible out of the box. It is a text-to-speech enabled phone that speaks all functions. It is a screenless phone. Comes from Spain, and it's unlocked, and it's a GSM phone, 900-1800 mobile phone, especially adapted to the needs of blind and vision impaired people. The manufacturer I present to you is Oasis. This is the Oasis 22C, screenless talking cellular to the telephone, designed specifically for the blind and vision impaired. I have it here in front of me.
I'm Freema, T-Mobile.
And I have T-Mobile as my carrier. I used to have Verizon, like you have, but I couldn't find anything close to accessibility with Verizon, and so I got this phone as my upgrade. Okay, I will go into some functions for you. Oops, it turned off.
Phone book, web.
Here's the phone book.
Find them, com, web. New contact, 2. Edit contact, 3. Delete contact, 4. Phone book status, 5. Special numbers, 6. Copy phone book, 7. Find and com, 1.
There's your menus. Now if we go into the messaging menu.
Phone book, 1. Messages, 2. Send new message, 1.
First option is send new message.
Unread messages, 2. Read messages, 3. Send messages, 4. Unsend messages, 5. Voicemail box, 6. Options, 7. Send new message, 1.
Okay, well, let's write a text message here.
Text, write text.
It said text, then write text. Jaws was interrupting me. Sorry about that. But anyway, I'm going to write something simple like hello. And it reads back what I typed. Now, I'm not going to send this because it will take away my text messages of use. Actually, okay, I'll go ahead and send this real quick.
Text, destination.
And I'll write my phone number.
Write number.
And that's my phone number.
Destination, send now.
And I'm going to send it. And you'll hear a short GSM tone, because that's I have my OSCs close to the microphone. I'll press OK.
Send message.
And
send message.
And that means that it's
sent me message. What?
Sent the message, and it's also received the message. So now I can either go in here in my menus and retrieve it, or I'll do it from the network advisory, and I'll go ahead and show you that now.
T-Mobile.
Now, if you want to retrieve this, you hold in your right info key.
Unread message is one.
And there's the unread message, and it tells you the unread message.
1-6th of March, 2009. 12:04.
And it read the number out and the date and time. I'll press OK to read this.
Hello?
And it says hello, because that's what it says. We have some options here.
Delete. What?
Delete.
Forward.
Forward.
Answer.
Answer.
Call.
Call.
Add number to phone book. 6.
Add number to phone book.
Delete. What?
And that's all we got.
SMS mailbox full.
And my mailbox is full, so that's okay. You might be asking, well, How do you check your signal strength with the OSC's 22C? Well, you hold in your info key.
SMS mailbox from network, T-Mobile.
Network is T-Mobile.
Good coverage.
I have good coverage.
High battery. 6th of March, 2009, 12:07 p.m.
And the time is 12:07 p.m. in the Portland area. In case if you're wondering the price on this phone, when I got this phone for my birthday as a large upgrade for my LG VX4650, the price of the phone with a 2-year contract from T-Mobile was $249.95. And I got this phone from Capital Accessibility, LLC. Now, if you buy the phone without service, it is $595.95. That's if you have existing service, like with, let's say, AT&T or any of the UK GSM networks. You can just simply move your SIM card to the phone, and boom, it's already running. All right, now, in case if you're wondering, how many ringtones does it have? Well, it's got a total of 56 ringtones to choose from, and I'll show you some of them and how you set your ringtones.
Handfree mode, T-Mobile, phone book, one.
We're going to go to sounds or configuration.
Sounds and alarms, one. Ring volume, one.
We're going to go to ringing tones.
One.
Okay.
55.
Okay. 53. Ooh. Siren. Nice. And 51. 50. That's the rooster crow. Now, if I want to, I'm going to select this one.
Save melody.
No, I don't want to save it.
Ring volume, one.
And that's how you would select your ringtone. So, there's other functions in this phone that are useful. One of them is the call divert function, which I have tested. And this is useful if you're working and you don't want to be disturbed by a cell phone ring. You can just set this.
Hands-free mode, T-Mobile.
Go back into hands-free mode.
Phone book.
And then select, what is it, call?
Extra 6, manage call.
And I'll press 5, which is the shortcut.
My number, 1. Call divert, 2.
Call divert.
Divert always, 1.
Divert always.
On busy, 2. No answer, 3.
On busy and no answer, these are the other, which is if your phone line's busy, it will divert the call to your other phone number, and no answer just means no answer. It will divert the call to that number you choose.
Not reachable for.
That explains it very well. Not reachable if you're not on another phone call, if you are on another phone call, or if you're out of the coverage area, or if your phone is turned off.
Cancel all diverts.
And that just cancels all diverts. I'm going to show you how you activate this.
Divert always, one.
And this is a phone that is a part, this is a feature that is a part of your phone directly. I don't think your network service provider carries this, but if it doesn't, then it's a part of your phone. It's definitely a part of your phone. So I'm going to select divert always.
Activate, one.
Activate. And in a few moments, I'll press yes again, and it will activate.
Activate call divert.
I'm going to say yes.
Write the bird number.
I'm going to write my number. That's my home phone number. Select yes.
Compare bird activated. Activate.
Now, let's pretend that you or Joseph or anybody else from Blind Cool Tech is going to call me regarding my podcasts that I've made on Blind Cool Tech. For instance, that Weather Watcher podcast. Well, and let's say that I'm working, and you guys dial my cell phone number. What's going to happen is it's going to divert you to my landline number to leave a message. Okay, here we go. Oh, it went back into handset mode. This phone will always stay in handset mode in about every 10 seconds or so. When you're not using the phone, it will go back into handset mode. So I'm going to go back into hands-free mode.
Hands-free mode.
Oops.
T-Mobile.
Okay, let's dial my cell phone number here, and we'll see what happens. Okay, that's...
Call from Joseph Timothy.
Okay, that's my Panasonic phone there telling me that I have a call from my own name, of course. So, let's disable this function now.
My number, one.
Call divert.
Divert always, one.
Cancel all diverts.
Cancel all diverts.
And that was option 5, and I pressed the menu option shortcut number 5 to get to that. So, okay, I'm going to select yes, and it will deactivate call divert.
All diverts canceled.
The last thing I'm going to show you is the phone book, because this is one other important feature of accessible cell phones that the LG phones don't really take into account when it comes to modifying phone book entries. The LG phones do a good job with making phone book entries, but when it comes to modifying them, they don't speak as far as what you're doing when the first entry is highlighted. So when it comes to modifying them, so I'll show you this now. Oops, go back into hands-free.
Phone book,
and we have find and call, but I'm going to select new contact.
Find and call, one. New contact, two.
And then write my name.
Enter contact name.
And then write my name, Tim Johnson. And I'm going to write my number in there.
Name, home number, right number.
And let's say I want to add my home phone number. Got that in there.
Home number, work number, mobile number.
I'll write my cell number in there.
Right number.
I'll write that one. I'll write that in there.
Mobile number, email address.
You can write an email address, but I don't think it's necessary because this phone does not do email and it does not do web browsing either. But they are working on updating that for this phone in the future. The manufacturer is working on this, so hopefully when I attend the conventions that Capital Accessibility is going to do in the future, I'll get my phone updated for that. So, okay. Now, if I want to go down to store contact, navigate 2 times to that, and I press OK,
contact stored.
And it's stored.
Contact New contact.
So there's one other feature I'll show you in this menu. Copy phone book. In this menu, you have copy phone book to your SIM card, and you also have copy SIM card phone book entries back to your phone. And this is useful for backup purposes in case if your OSCE's 22C were to fail for some unknown reason, and you had to send it in to get it fixed, and you had a backup, GSM phone, for example, the Nokia 6682 with TOPS on it. You could just export your phone book entries back to your phone and stuff. I don't know if Nokia has this, but I do know that OSCE's has this in there. And okay, select this.
Copy SIM to phone book. One.
Copy SIM to phone book is the first option.
Copy phone book to SIM.
And when I press OK on this, it's going to copy the phone book entries to my SIM card. So, and I'm going to press no on this.
T-Mobile.
Okay, and we're done. So, all right, well, that's all that the phone has for basic features, because it's a very basic phone, and I would really recommend this phone to anybody who is looking for a fully accessible cell phone that doesn't have a lot of stuff like the camera or the web browser or email or anything like that, that just wants a basic phone to do phone stuff and text messaging. So, and one more thing too, I did hear of a possible update for this phone to work on CDMA carriers in the future. There is a possibility that this phone will work on CDMA networks in the future when the manufacturer for this phone puts a new replacement radio chip in this phone, like a new replacement part. So in the future, if that does happen, then we will be able to use this phone on Verizon Wireless and Sprint networks.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Tim, for giving this demonstration of the OSCE's 22C and showing us some of the different things that the phone can do. It's an interesting demonstration, and hopefully it will give everybody out there some input on another phone that they could possibly use. So thanks again for that. It was interesting. And I did have to do a little bit of editing on that to shorten it down. It was a lengthy demonstration, so I did have to do a little bit of editing on that to cut the time down. I apologize for that. All right. Well, thank you everybody again for your comments. I hope everybody keeps calling in. I hope everybody is enjoying the interactive parts of the podcast. And that wraps up this podcast. Hope everybody's enjoyed it. And I'll talk to you again soon. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's RHARMON 928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's RHARMON, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, Please feel free to contact me if you have any other comments or suggestions. Please feel free to contact me.